The following is a presentation of Morning Drive Media.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Gimmick Podcast, right here on the Wrestling Viewpoint Network. I'm the Internet's Mark Budonica.
I'm Brandon Taylor, professional wrestler, world traveler.
Well, yeah, now that's pretty much true. So, as of late, we've been recording in the AfterBuzz studios with kind of like a minimal time frame. We're back in the classic, the Soapbox Car TV quote-unquote studio.
It was a studio.
It still kind of is. Now it's kind of, and now it's reverted a little bit more into the garage that it once was. But we're here to talk everything. We have all the time in the world, essentially a lot more time than we usually
have. We can do what we want.
Thank you to Joe Galley on Twitter at Joe Galley News for giving us most of our show today. So the biggest thing that you haven't had a chance to do really is talk about your Australia trip.
Not in a public venue.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was like 2.5 weeks, so it's hard to cover it all. Like everybody's asking, so how was it? Did you have fun? Well, yeah. And that's essentially as deep as I can go.
All right, cool.
Like,
thank you.
I don't have the time typically to go into everything that
you're not a vlogger.
Into that. No, I'm not. I'm not that guy.
I don't even know if you did. You talk about Florida on air that much?
No, not really. I don't think
that was because that was Royal Rumble weekend,
right?
So it's been a while.
It's just been a whirlwind like month. Let's just say month.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy trip, and you got a pretty. Well, I mean, it's a near trip, but a pretty fun trip coming up. I'm so happy that you got a chance to travel. Just in general, what is the main difference between an Australia crowd and an America crowd?
There's not a whole lot of difference.
Good.
But the Australian people are much like European people. Their cursing is almost competitive.
Interesting.
So they really do not care about
family show.
About obscenities as much.
Okay.
They really don't. So they'll say just about whatever they want, and everybody flips the bird, and nobody really cares.
All right.
Yeah.
That's my kind of people.
Right. So that was kind of the biggest difference. I got to work a few different shows, and...
You did a lucha show.
Yeah,
How do they treat Lucha Libre as opposed to how we do here?
Well, we actually have luchadors here.
Yes, we do.
They don't. They kind of watch stuff on TV and then kind of... make their best effort at it, you know? Like, I tried to do some real lucha in my match with my opponent, and I was just blowing him away for the most part. And that's nothing against him. He's a good wrestler. But it's like, I'm coming in with actual Lucha Libre training, and he's like, I don't know what you want from me. Like, I'm going to give you an arm drag, and then you have to get up and run. Just run! Run as fast as you can at me! Like, just that having to explain that. I was like, nope, we're not going to do much of this. But the
interesting how you of all people bring lucha to the Australians, and they're like, I don't get it.
Yeah, it's
slower,
everything's a comma. Like in lucha, like the things that you think would matter are like commas, so that you can get up and do a dive.
Yeah.
I was talking with Carlo about that, and that's really what it is. I'm gonna pick you up and I'm gonna slam you to the mat so I can climb up and then fall on you. Yeah, that seems really, really intelligent. But we managed to find a nice groove. I was the opening match of the night on that show, and that it wasn't a lucha show. I wouldn't describe it as a lucha show. It's a club show.
Okay.
So it's like Lucha Vavoom or anything like that. Whole bunch of weird characters, silly stuff like that.
All right.
The crowd, you saw the pictures. The crowd is on the ring, bordering in the ring.
Yeah.
All of them are pretty drunk. We started late, which was good, because then the crowd could just get
even more plaid. Yeah.
And it was just pretty easy. And actually, through that, I was able to get onto Australian TV. Which
is bizarre, but
yeah.
Cool.
They came and filmed at Vicious Pursuit, which is Carlo Cannon's school in South Melbourne, which is where I was staying. And I got a chance to meet them, but they didn't want to use me that day because they had all their shots lined up and they knew what they wanted. But I had a chance to meet them. So I was hanging out backstage. I was already in my gimmick. And they were like, they were interviewing some other girl. And it was not a good interview. because she was trying to speak some Spanish, but she didn't know any Spanish. And it came off
inappropriate?
Not inappropriate, just like not good.
Okay.
If it was inappropriate, then you get a laugh. This was just not good. So I was standing there and I was like, and they were like, so you want to give an interview? And I'm like, yep. And I just walk in and do my thing. And of course, I've got everybody in the room's attention because I know how to be on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do my thing and I deliver some outrageous lines. And of course, they use me in the show.
Of course they do. El Hobo.
El Hobo.
Ever since you first told me, the first thought that I had in the back of my mind was a really selfish one, but it was, man, I want to go too. Mm. That's a lifestyle that I've always kind of looked at and been, that would be interesting. And I think every fan does, is that traveling to the ends of the earth just to kind of get your name out there a little bit.
I don't, it's kind of funny. I like to travel for work, but I don't like to travel. There's stuff out there. If you've seen stuff, you know what stuff looks like. If you've met people, you know what people are like. So it's kind of like, I don't want to see anything or do anything. I just want to work. So
no,
that's
the
only reason why I would travel.
When we went to Vegas a couple years ago for a friend's bachelor party, you worked, and we went to the show.
Right.
And it was an interesting show, and his dad was very much not a pro wrestling sort, but he was just like, this is a circus show, this is weird.
Yes.
And he was just that weird, uncomfortable, like, what's going on? Laughter, because he'd never been in a pro wrestling world, let alone live before.
Right.
But, but We're looking forward to, like, literally looking forward to WrestleMania, which is almost, as of this recording, is 41 days away.
Yeah.
And seeing that on Raw last night was just like, oh my god.
Well,
41 days away.
I mean, Hobo did the Fastlane
after
show.
It went over pretty interestingly.
He and I
feel
similarly.
Hobo's getting the weirdest comments still. Like, how do you not? What are you? I thought it was a Randy Savage impression. His build is the Hobo. What, like, do you? What do you want?
We're working here for almost 3 years, and you don't know the hell I am. Like, whatever. It just made me laugh. And then a few people chimed in, and then those comments got bumped. It was like, what? I don't know. Some people you just can't reach. They don't want to know anymore.
Yeah.
And so you just have to deal with those people.
No, I want people with a first and last name, whether
that's
it's
right.
real or not.
I want a person.
I want Borden Stevens, not Sting.
Right.
Get out of here.
It's just that whole mindset still bothers me on a daily basis. Like,
that's the mindset that seemingly even more so now that with Shane McMahon's return, the fandom seems to be in.
I guess.
People seem to be accepting the wrong thing. How much of Raw did you see?
None?
Fair play.
Except for the internet clips.
That we just watched. So there was the show ended with Sheamus and Roman Reigns. Interesting, but just before Sheamus got counted out, H's music hit, turned into a no contest. But he comes out in jeans, his t-shirt, wrapped
hands,
fists,
yeah,
and leather jacket. And so it's the Cerebral Assassin. And he beats the crap out of Roman Reigns. And everybody's cheering. And it's like, hold on.
Yeah.
This is the same guy that Daniel Bryan had to beat because he was being a D-bag.
Yeah.
That you were cheering against.
Well, now we're starting to get into that Tommy Dreamer territory of we're going to beat you so bad, they're going to like you.
First part ain't
you
working.
It's a long con. They don't have that much time.
It started at WrestleMania last year when Brock Lesnar beat the crap out of him and everybody went, okay, all right.
It started there. Like, well, something's, this guy's got to do something, or this is just going to be the worst or he's friggin' going main event
to die.
Yeah, it's, and so you you just sort of have to hang in there and hope the crowd comes with you, but like it's the it's heavy-handed. It's just like you could have like I'm totally invested in Dean Ambrose. I'm like, this dude should be champion.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that everybody wants to see champion for just a long list of reasons. But they don't want him to be the guy because I don't think they want him to be the person that everybody turns to right now at this stage in the company, which is understandable from a marketing standpoint, yeah, as he's crazy. But crazy sells.
Crazy
sells tickets. Mm-hmm. A lot of tickets. And just after watching Fastlane and that, just he did everything he could and people connected with that.
Mm-hmm.
He really wanted to win and you could see that. Whereas Roman, it still feels a little like things are handed to Roman.
I would agree with you in a little, for the most part, in terms of Roman. There's a lot of stuff that we're kind of jaded looking at because we see behind the curtain, yeah, as well. Since because we know what's going on, it's a little bit harder to connect because we're like, oh, well, he's going to win.
Right.
Like, anytime he starts his build-up, you can't get you can't get, oh, he's going to fire back and kick some ass, because you're like, oh, okay, he's going to win now.
Yeah.
Instead of being naturally taken into it. And that's why I think that same aspect is working in Dean's favor for the opposite reason.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, we see what they want to do with Reigns. We like Ambrose better, so they're using Reigns to kind of warrant this. It's not that it's unwarranted to Dean, because Dean is going to be the champion.
Yeah.
It's just unfortunate that it's happening this way, and they're using Dean to try to propel Roman, which makes sense in their weird, we've been brothers since the Shield and all that stuff. But
it doesn't work. Dean's the guy. He's the guy that everybody wants to see champion because it's such a long shot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just consistently entertaining. Everything he does, everything he says, leaves people wanting more. And that's what you want.
Yeah. So last night's segment with Dean was Lesnar beat the crap out of him before
the
show.
Came back in the ambulance.
So he stole an ambulance from the hospital. Seemingly.
He's done that before.
Yeah, but it's more of a, this guy's going to do anything to try to accomplish his goal.
Yeah.
We haven't seen as much of that from Roman.
Yeah. And that's that was what Hobo said on Sunday night was, Dean Ambrose is crazy enough to try and beat Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he can. He's psychotic enough to really almost do it.
He seems like the guy where they're in the boardroom. He's like, hey, we're looking for somebody for Brock to just totally annihilate, beat up. It's going to be no holds barred. And Dean was like, yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Just really quick, like, ah, sure, yeah. Sounds like fun.
Dean's the new Foley.
Yeah.
So if you want to see somebody die and become bigger, He's the new Foley, which
childhood
is great because
true.
He modeled a lot of what he did after Foley, so it works really well. And what Foley did worked really well. It's just intelligent.
Like, regardless, I think the fans at this point, from a story standpoint with Roman, are getting tired of it, but know that Triple H Roman Reigns is going to be a crazy match. It's going to be ridiculous.
Does it have a stipulation yet?
Not yet. I figure it will, but we already have Hell in a Cell and No Holds Barred.
Which one's No Holds Barred?
Dean and Lesnar.
I don't even know what that doesn't even mean what it used to mean. No Holds Barred was like,
no, well, Dean said, No Holds Barred, street fight.
Somebody better do a pile driver then. Because that's actually what no holds barred means.
Yeah.
It means all the stuff that they're not allowed to do, they can actually do. So there should
Dean could do a pile driver.
Yeah, he could.
And Lesnar would be like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'm sure he would take that.
Yeah.
It's a safe move.
Yeah, we'll see some stuff.
Yeah.
Or at least I would hope so. Just to get that crowd a-popping. But that also, there's also the Charlotte set up Sasha and Becky to fight for the number one contendership, which a lot of people are hoping ends in a draw.
Yeah, they want that.
So we get a triple threat.
That's cool.
We don't have a heading, really, for where the tag team division is going.
No.
Because, like, last night it was New Day versus Lucha Dragons and Neville.
Yeah, and I heard about the 450s.
Yeah, so, but... So how it worked was, it was an apron 450 on Big E, Neville posted on the ground, and then, Kalisto jumped off of Neville's back and did a 450 onto Xavier. And then Sin Cara won the match inside.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
He did a move.
It's about...
Yeah.
It's all about working as a team, and obviously those two were pulling their weight.
But, those three have teamed... Several times now, so...
Because they're the Flyers.
Yeah.
The three Flyers.
It's good. It's fun. But we don't know where New Day's going. We had that rumor from Cage Side Seats that Enzo and Cass were going to be called up into that Cutting Edge segment, which was Garbo.
That was the worst damned segment.
That was that was a terrible, tease was just sad.
Didn't I say that? Was if it's a rumor, it's not going to happen?
If it's a rumor,
you think it's
going
to happen, and they know that you think it's going to happen, they're not going to do it. Because they don't want to give you the satisfaction or something. It's all about money. And I was thinking about this the other night. It's the old model used to be, you do TV to get to the big shows, where you make the most money. But now the pay-per-views don't make as much money as regular TV. Because you have the advertising on the regular shows, which you don't have on the pay-per-views, because they're not on pay-per-view anymore, because everybody has the network, because everybody buys the network and doesn't pay for the pay-per-views, because they come as part of the network.
Yeah.
So there's no money in the pay-per-views anymore. So, like I thought, the whole time this network thing was starting to hash out in the very beginning, pay-per-views don't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
They're just a waste of time. So everything important is going to happen on Raw. And WrestleMania, and SummerSlam, and Royal Rumble. And that's it.
Yeah, not even Survivor Series anymore.
Yeah. Everything important is going to happen there. Because that's television. That's where the money is.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the big shows.
The big show.
The big show. And the Undertaker.
Itch. that's becoming one of my favorite bits on Raw that Ty and Johnny do.
Yep.
Because the big show.
Ty's got it down.
I love Ty Matthews. And John LaQuasta, for that matter. And Marquia McCarty, our new Raw show host. Last night was weird, though. Did you see what we had to do?
No.
Marquia was out sick.
Oh.
Ty was traveling, so it was Johnny and the phone line.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting show. I'd suggest watching it. I was like, thank you for calling in to the AfterBuzz TV Raw After Show. You're on with Johnny LaQuasta. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Boop. Did it go well?
It went well enough. There are a couple people who are just like, yo, chill. But aside from that, it was like Johnny prefaces the show with essentially, don't be a jerk. Don't be a D-bag or you'll be cut off. And I came on and was like, yeah, I have control of the phone lines.
Wow,
you'll be gone.
It turned into a radio show.
Yeah, no, that's what he was like. Johnny has always wanted to be a radio host. And he's like, yeah, I kind of got it. It's coming
true.
Everybody's WrestleMania dreams are coming true.
Yeah.
So something that Mr. Joe Galli suggested we talk about, why not? Is Life Without Kathy. Kathy has moved on to a new opportunity that I'm sure she'll be able to talk about soon.
Yeah, we can't talk about it yet.
Oh, of course not.
Sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, whatever. Listen to her. excuse me. That was our one, and I wasted it.
Damn!
Oh, that was another thing. McMahon totally dropped the F-bomb
on... I heard
on
that.
Yeah, it was interesting.
And then they...
It's like, you better F and beat him.
Pulling video of him doing that now.
Yeah.
Like, they're just going... He never said it! He never said it!
I think they recut the post show or the Raw thing to have him not say it anymore.
leave it to the chairman.
But that works for him. But regardless, Kathy's been on Sam Roberts' show a couple times.
Yeah, just numerous times.
Go to his YouTube channel, go to his radio show and listen to her when she's on, because she always does a great job. But Kathy was really, and still is, a lot of glue in the wrestling department in AfterBuzz.
She was one of the most senior people at AfterBuzz.
Yeah. There are very few people who work at AfterBuzz who remember a time when she wasn't there.
Right.
So it's definitely sad to see her go, and you know, she's a really good, and in a professional aspect, she brought such an awesome presence to everything that she did on all of our shows. And from a personal standpoint, I don't get to see a really good friend twice a week anymore. Right. So that's pretty dang unfortunate. Yeah. But
we all got really close there at the end.
Mm-hmm. Leading up to SummerSlam, from WrestleMania to SummerSlam was when we started going hardcore. Yeah. As like, okay, we're a team. This is a team, and we're going to work together for the betterment of all three of us. And that's the hashtag NXT team, whose merchandise you can get at nxtteam.spreadshirt.com.
Yep.
But had to put it in there. And then building up to SummerSlam and executing our plan for SummerSlam and having that plan blow up in our faces at SummerSlam, and then making the best out of what we did and just having a good time in New York.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever may or may not have happened in New York, was something that I wouldn't trade for the world. And looking forward to this year's SummerSlam, I'm like, what's the point now?
Yeah. Yeah,
in a sense of like, so much that of what made that event special was the three of us as a team.
Yeah, it's
working.
We've lost a little bit of the team dynamic. I mean, you and I are still very much a team, but
yeah.
you're now the
de facto leader.
Right. Well, hey now, I brought you into this.
Yeah.
I'll take you out. You're just doing.
You heard that. He's going to kill me.
You're doing so much more at AfterBuzz than you were. I don't know if you have an official title yet.
Not really. Not yet. Hopefully.
You're doing so much more.
I'm hoping by WrestleMania I can talk about that.
Okay.
That's my goal right now.
So you're doing a lot, and so you're just busier with that. And Bill, I'm so glad to have him on the team, and he adds a boatload of credibility, but him being as busy as he is with all of his outlets and his actual work as a professional sports person,
sports journalist,
whatever. He's busy. So, I mean, we've got to build a better relationship with Bill.
It's happening.
It'll just happen over time. But it's we the team's spread a little thin right now.
Yeah. And at the same time, constantly growing. And we've had a lot of great response from all of the people who watch, all of our viewers. I dare to say fans. We have people who own multiple t-shirts that I design.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. and we know that several of them are going to be in Dallas for WrestleMania, so we talked about it a little bit on Raw, where I'm starting to look for venues where if we can't do a show,
we want to do a live thing.
We can meet. If we can't do a show, we can at least do just like, hey, just let's hang out and talk wrestling.
We did that last year. That worked out actually really well. I enjoyed that because people bought me beer. But also because I got to meet fans.
Yeah. Like, we just thought people were buying us beer, and then they said, no, hey man, the NXT show is our favorite. Yeah! We're winning! So yeah, it's been Life Without Kathy has been. There's been a little bit of an adjustment. She's still very much. I try to talk to her as much as I can, but she's busy working on this new thing.
Yeah, I'm terrible with communication.
Yeah,
that's just who I am. I do the best I can, but I just am bad at it.
Me too. Like I'm like in front of my computer working on this one thing, and then somebody goes, "Hey, remember we talked about that thing?" No, crap, and I'm working on something else, and I have to go back to the other thing later, and this, that, and the other thing, which is great when you're supposed to be a multitasking producer, so. I'm working on it, I'm getting better. There's a lot of stuff that, with Kathy's help, we've gotten better at, and without her, we wouldn't be nearly as professional adjacent as...
I'm getting more and more professional adjacent. Like, I took my suit with me to Australia. And I wore it to every show I was at, mm-hmm. because I didn't know the promoter, I didn't know any of the guys, so I wanted to look as professional as I can. And I came off really interestingly. Not bad, just I think super intimidating for a lot of the guys, because they're so relaxed over there, because mm-hmm. it's Australia, it's kind of a surf culture. So everybody's really chill.
Well, yeah, there's no, like, Central Australians aren't really a thing.
No, no. It's all around the outside. It's a big donut with the burning hole in the middle.
Sounds about right.
So everybody was chilling. I was like, I have to wear my suit, because that's what Kathy sort of grilled in me. And if I don't wear my suit to a professional thing, I hear her in my head.
And it's like, you probably should have worn something
right.
nice.
What are you wearing? What is this? And I hear her in my head, and then I have an argument with no one, or I could just wear the suit. So I end up just wearing the suit, which was a good and bad thing, because I freaked everybody out at all of these shows in Australia yeah. I was at. Like, why are you wearing a suit? Because I'm trying to look nice.
And one of the... same thing with me, too, is like looking back at RTX, the Rooster Teeth convention that I did before we did Brooklyn. I mean, it was hot as hell, and it was a really casual yeah. convention, but I'm thinking this year I should probably wear a suit yeah. just because I'm in a better place with the company, and I want to present that as opposed yeah. to short sandals, button up with the sleeves rolled up, sort of open shirt, like, hey, what's up? Sort of a guy.
I'm going to be wearing my suit to ROH this weekend. It's not the first time I've met those guys, but I may as well just wear it.
And we'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. But, like, this past weekend, I got 5 new suit shirts and a new coat.
That's nice.
And, yeah, like, I'm prepping for WrestleMania week. I'm going to be wearing my suit. If I'm going to be working, I'm going to be wearing that suit.
That's kind of the way you need to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be uncomfortable. Just wearing it, sort of period, especially if it's hot, just hydrate.
Yep. Yep.
it was a little warm in Australia because it's summer down there, but Melbourne's got Florida weather. So it's hot and then cold, and then it just does what it wants because
okay.
it's right on the water, so it's constantly changing. So there were days when I was wearing a suit, and Mr. Juicy, who's a pretty big guy in the Australian scene, was like, are you dying? Like, I'm hanging in there, and I drank just a ton of water that day to try and replenish what I was losing.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
We're in a house, so I'll be able to iron things, maybe.
Ironing isn't that big a deal. Well, especially if you're wearing the shirt, you wear the jacket over the shirt, so nobody can really tell if it's wrinkled.
Oh, okay.
You sort of control what they're able to see. Because usually
they worn a damn suit before.
They only see the chest and the tie. Well, I'm like, this is how I strategize.
I'm doing an open shirt.
Open shirt, like 70s?
No, not like I've been doing on the NXT show.
Oh,
like I'm doing
okay.
on the NXT show where it's just top button, it's open, but it still looks nice.
Okay.
About to curse again. But yeah.
What's wrong with chest pubes?
Nothing's... Shut... Carl. It's been an interesting adjustment. We're still adjusting. We definitely miss Kathy a lot.
Yeah.
But not like she's dead. And
no.
And hopefully we'll see her soon. We know we'll... We have a pretty good idea of when she'll be back in town. I invited her to my wedding, so
oh, yeah.
if at the very least she better be there.
Yeah.
So
she may come back for that.
May. I would like for her to come back for that.
Maybe.
But since you mentioned it, there's a Ring of Honor show that's taping this weekend.
Yep. Actually, there's two.
There's two?
There's two.
In Las Vegas,
Friday and Saturday.
A very Japanese heavy show.
Yep. They're definitely using their affiliations with New Japan to create an anniversary show that is going to be quite memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be at that. I do not know in what capacity I will be used, though I will say I have been in talks with them for a while now. So most likely it'll be Saturday, because their pay-per-view is going to be what their pay-per-view is. But they're doing...
They're doing TV.
They're doing TV on Saturday. And So maybe I'll get something. I don't know. I might be one of Dalton Castle's guys, which would be really hilarious because they're all fairly attractive. I'm not. I'll be the ugly.
You'll be the one in the back.
The ugly guy.
Especially if they let you do it in gimmick.
Well, I mean, the gimmick now has changed a little bit. So
speaking of that,
too different.
You've recently come out with pictures that the new and quote unquote improved, I would say, the new hobo gimmick has evolved.
Yes.
Interesting choice of words I chose. What made it came, or as much as you can, talk about what had made it come about and what you want to do with it moving forward.
It was just a few different things. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was sort of just an amalgamation of a lot of different things that ended up coming to a head in Florida for the most part, because that's really where I got the idea and it started to form from talking to a few different people out there.
Yeah.
Primarily at the Evolve shows.
Okay.
And from there it sort of started to gain life. And I decided right away, because that's how my brain works, unfortunately. Flying back from Florida and leaving for Australia, I decided that I would change gimmicks in Australia.
Interesting.
Because that would be a completely fresh crowd. So there would be
great
no
place
expectations.
To test on.
Perfect test crowd. They don't know who the hell I am. And I don't necessarily, I sort of knew how it was going to look because I always have the blueprints in my head. I'm like, I'll do this here, this needs this here. And I pretty much planned it out. The only thing I needed were the trunks. And I didn't have those. So I got them from High Spots and I got super expedited shipping. And I got them like the day before I left for Australia. They fit, but there was a small problem.
What was the problem?
The waist was too big.
Oh, like really?
I read it, and it said it should fit somebody whose waist is
however
big. And I was like, okay, so this will fit me, because it's got to be a high waist just for me because it looks right.
It looks awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, this will fit, and then I tried them on. I'm like, oh god, these are falling off. So it just became a really quick thing of, all right, so here's what I have to do. I have to either figure out how to tie this correctly, or I have to sew them. And I ended up sewing them.
Oh, good.
So that it, all the excess material, and I didn't cut it, because I wanted the excess material. It's made in a very specific way.
Okay.
That if I were to cut it, it would not be the same. So I had to keep all the excess material, so I simply sewed it with a crimp and all the extra material in the front so I could still pull it and it would be tight, and the seams, the creases would be in the crotch, which is where I need a little extra room anyway.
Sure.
Not a whole lot, but, I mean, not to sell myself short anything.
Room is appreciated in that area.
You need a little something. So I ended up sewing those the day I was leaving, just because it had to be done.
Yep.
And that whole day was really stupid. The day I left for Australia, there was a huge storm, and it knocked out power to pretty much the all of Burbank, and I couldn't do laundry, which is like the last thing I needed to do. So I had to drive to my mother's to do laundry there and then pack all the clothes and then go pick up the dry cleaning with the suit so I could put it on the top of my suitcase so it wouldn't get too wrinkled and then go to the airport and leave. It was just that whole day. It's no wonder I slept on the plane, because I got some good sleep on that plane. But it's... So back to the gimmick itself, I wanted something that looked more like wrestling. And I've done pants for so long, it's just sort of done to me. And I sewed myself a new pair of pants, and that's cool. So I just have those, and I can wear them actually over my gimmick, which is what I was doing in Australia for St. Kilda Fest, which was a big festival show, and we were outdoors the entire time. The locker room was outdoors.
Oh, okay.
So I just wore it over, and everybody was getting sunburned. I'm like, I don't need sunburned legs. I put on sunblock, but it was just like, I don't need this.
No.
So I wore those over, but I wanted something that looked more professional, but still looked like me. So I was like, okay, so what can I do? And to hide the sewing I did in the extra seam, I had a scarf that I had been playing with for a while, and I'm like, okay, this could actually be a good sash. So I tied that up as a sash, and that actually looked pretty good. And then I didn't buy anything. My mom gave me a few scarves that she doesn't use,
mm-hmm.
so I could tie them as knee pad covers on one knee, because you need some color.
Yeah.
With like something like that.
With plain black.
Right. Trunks. It's either black or gray. Plain black trunks, and I'm wearing black, gray, or brown. Mm-hmm. Those are the three colors I have. You need some color.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, I can do this with these knee pad cover on one knee, and then I modified socks to use as a knee pad cover on the other knee, and then with the remainder, I was able to do like armbands.
Yeah,
I was just playing with them. I didn't know quite what to do. I was like, okay, the knee pad covers thing will work, just in theory. I'm like, it's a stretchy material; it'll be fine. But I didn't know what to do with the remainder, and so I was like, wrist things, no, too loose. Elbow things, no, still too loose. Ahmed Johnson, okay. I'm the Ahmed Johnson of hobos now. That's fine.
Ahmed Hobo.
Yes.
Hobo Johnson.
And then I tied one of my tassels that I made to my left leg, because I like movement.
Yeah.
Things that
it's kinetic. Sort of,
right. I mean, even the fringe down the old pants, it was something that lent to a larger sense of motion, especially in photographs.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that with the sash, and I wanted something on one of my legs, and I chose my left leg to have a tassel on. So it just gave it a little bit extra, which isn't even my kicking leg.
No.
But I figured the color with the motion of my right leg, which is my kicking leg, will look better in photographs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a solid look. It hasn't been on TV yet.
No.
But I think one of the biggest parts about the hobo's look that changed was the teeth. Seeing you prep that every week added like an extra 4 or 5 minutes to prep time, and just imagining how you would do that for shows. How has removing the teeth element for the gimmick helped or hindered, or how has it changed?
It hasn't changed much. I simply don't do it, but I still move my mouth relatively the same way. It would change, having the stuff in would change the way my mouth moved a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of magic still in there, so
yeah, leave it there. Let's leave it there.
Talking about it, but it's still the same relatively. I still carry my jaw the same, which is I like the underbite. So I carry my jaw forward, and everything's relatively the same. It's just I have to get into my own mind thinking that it's there. Nothing's changed. It's still there, but it's not there.
Yeah.
So watching playback of myself doing after shows, now that's changed for me. It's weird seeing me with full set of teeth.
A little bit.
That's weird.
A little bit more you than hobo.
Yeah, which is what it is. But him being him, he doesn't have a problem with it because it's just dental work that he had done. But he didn't have his jaw reset, so it doesn't really matter to him. They're his teeth.
Yeah.
But for me, looking at him, he looks more like me now than he does him.
But speaking of that regard as well,
yeah.
Putting your hair back for matches.
Yeah. That was a decision that Ryan Katz actually helped me develop that one. No, I don't have a problem dropping his name on that one. Because hair's messy, and it gets in the way, and it does lend to a lot of things.
Yeah. More that kinetic motion that you were talking about earlier.
But it also hides my face a lot,
mm-hmm.
Just because it's big and it's everywhere. Two. Now we
that's
have two.
Sorry. Since we have some time, I'll probably go back and censor those.
All right. So it's... But if you tie it back, you're able to see more of my face, and it's easier just to wrestle with it.
Yeah.
So I decided, instead of tying it in the back and bringing it forward, I would make it part of my transition in the ring. So as I come out, I'm still the personality, I'm talking to the fans, I'm doing all that, but when I get in the ring, I pull back the hair, and now it's business.
It's business.
Now it's time to kick some ass. And I'm trying to work more on that moment, trying to give meaning to that moment of me putting my hair back, and it being a sort of a gear change in itself, but in the really early stages, so that it's understood what's happening. And it just needs a little work on my part. I think the idea is there, and I'll stand by it, but it just needs a little work on my part.
And you can lend more theatricality to it. It's a good look. It's a solid look. If you haven't seen it, go on Hobo's Twitter account, at TrueHobo.
Yeah, and I'll be updating my website pretty soon, which is boxcarsuperstar.com.
But it's the top pinned tweet. It's your new thumbnail. Or your profile picture.
That was from the first show I did, which was Platinum Wrestling Enterprises. And I wrestled a guy named Mad Dog, which was... He's basically the hobo of Australia. Like, he's a good wrestler, but he has that, like, dirty look to him. Because he's not well-muscled. He's got this kind of messy beard, and he's
cross between you and Luke Harper.
Sort of, but he's got this tattoo of a dog on his chest flexing, and like, it seems almost out of place because it's colored, but it's flesh colored. So he had it's like a different color flesh on his flesh. It's strange.
That's
but he's he's a great guy and a good wrestler, and he goes back and forth to Japan quite a bit, which isn't saying much because it's five hours away from Australia.
That's Dallas almost.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's New York. Dallas. Yeah, that's New York. That's Florida.
sorry, I was thinking of the plane ticket that I got, and it's about 5 hours, but that's with a layover and a stop and whatever. So we and I are very happy that you're back, but we're very happy that you got a chance to travel.
I'll be doing more.
What's your next plan to travel later in the year?
Well, obviously I got Las Vegas this weekend, and then Dallas coming up at the end of March.
Any intercontinental shows?
Not as of yet. I might reach out to Canada.
That'd be cool.
They've got a decent scene up there, and I know some people who know some people. So okay. Canada might be in the future. Our neighbors to the north.
Hey.
Yeah.
So fun thing that we've been joking about on the gimmick for a while is, if you've listened to us back from the beginning, is, hey, we should watch Lucha Underground.
I have held fast to my agreement, and I have not watched it. Thank you.
Hobo, as stalwart as ever, our intrepid non-Lucha Underground watcher, you should.
No, that's fine.
Support the Mac, Willie Mac, Joey Ryan, a lot of folk that
Joey Ryan,
that
have Ryan Cage, a lot of guys through. I've worked with.
Yeah,
Ricky Mandel's on that show, but he's under a mask. I know a lot of guys on that show. I'm not one of them.
Give it time.
Yeah,
they just got
give it time. No,
give it time.
But I don't speak Spanish.
That doesn't matter anymore.
It
really doesn't matter anymore. I don't know what you're doing. That's funny, but
I don't hold grudges. I just use opportunities created by others to propel myself forward.
There you go.
That's what I do against them.
But it's a fun show. I'm not. I mean, I've already fallen off of season two just because of our schedule at the studio has gotten a lot more intense. I used to have an hour to watch it with the folks who do the after show. But
did you hear they just announced they're doing
a show in Texas at South by Southwest?
Yeah,
very smart idea.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know if it'll get over though. It's the only thing I'm looking at it going. This is I don't know if that's the crowd.
I don't know either, but that's a place for the network.
Yeah.
That's a place for El Rey, because El Rey is in Austin. Right. So that's more of a, like, look at our variety of programming that we have, as opposed to, you want to see a wrestling show?
Well, I mean, the hipsters might be into it, because hipsters are like, yeah, this is not cool, but it's cool to be not cool.
And they like the art style. And, yeah.
People like masks. They do. They just like masks.
It's because we all have our own masks, Hubbo.
Do we?
Yeah. Internal masks. I was going psychological with it. What's your degree in? Shut up.
Psychopopalaka.
So, I went to Greek school. With that, let's. I mean, the only thing that we kind of have left to talk about would be planning our trip. Up there,
yeah.
Down there, excuse me, and it's gonna be a time, to be sure.
Yeah, I don't know if it's starting to take shape, though. I don't know if I like the shape. Not just yet, anyway.
Well, that's something that we all have to work on, because right now, as far as for the two of us anyway, plane tickets and a place to stay.
Right, that's taking... I mean, we'll be there. Like, everybody's asking, are you going to WrestleMania? I'll be in Dallas.
Yeah.
So the one thing I say, without any sort of exception, I will be in Dallas. I do not know if I'm going to WrestleMania. I have not bought tickets. If they magically materialize, I'll go to WrestleMania.
Hey, we do know some wizards.
We know some wizards.
Wizards and magicians.
I know some people who do voodoo.
Who do?
Voodoo.
You do?
They live in the caves of Kathmandu.
Very good. That's a good one. Nice poll. So, like, right now, as Hobo mentioned earlier, he doesn't like traveling. He likes going places to work.
I lived in a dojo the entire time I was in Australia, and everybody's like, do you want to go and you can stay with me? I'm like, I like being at the dojo.
That's where you're working.
I'm super boring. I like waking up and looking at wrestling. That's just what I want to do. I'm boring.
So, quote unquote boring. You just want to. It's a life's ambition. You want to do what you're doing. You want to do something you enjoy for a living. That's not a bad thing. That's not a boring thing. But regardless, we're both going there to work. Yep. And as much as I don't have tickets to WrestleMania either. I am going there to be an editor, to be a producer, to make sure that all of the stuff for AfterBuzz goes off without a hitch.
Somebody's got to do it.
Somebody's got to do it. And as of right now, we're going to be staying with a bunch of the other AfterBuzz people.
AfterBuzz House.
It will.
Like Legends House. Only, nah, it'll be as creepy.
Hashtag Creepy George. But well, no, that's a thing in the pay-per-view chat is Creepy George.
Really?
Yeah, it's a thing. It's a really silly that. Yeah, it's a really silly thing.
He does sort of have this monotone demeanor that might mean he's a sociopath.
In the best possible way.
Yes.
Allegedly. That's the best way to cover your ass, as you say allegedly after it. Regardless, we might have a couple of gimmicks. We might have some fun supplemental stuff for the network as a result of just like, hey, there's nothing happening right now. Do you want to shoot something? Do you want to record something? This, that, or the other thing.
We could actually have a lot of guests on the Gimmick Podcast.
We could.
If we get bored.
Yeah. I'm definitely bringing this microphone. We're going to have all of our AfterBuzz gear. I'm thinking of bringing my PlayStation or something so that maybe we do a gaming tournament or like a WWE 2K16 tournament or something. Who knows? Whatever. I don't care. It's shaping up to be a good time. It's shaping up to be a busy time. We don't have, and just to be clear, we don't have any confirmations of anything that we're doing. But if it's anything close to what last year was, I would like to double the amount of stuff that we do.
Yeah. It's personally. Honestly, that's just going to take just some preparation and execution. Mm-hmm. Because the opportunities were there last year. It was just not as organized as it should have been or could have been. So that's really the only thing that it needs is just the organization.
Yeah.
And then we'll be there.
And my plan, as much as I want to be on camera and interviewing people, I'm going to be taking a back seat most of the time, and just I'm probably just going to be living at whatever center Access is at during the day to make sure that all of our people get everything that they need. And I will try to, and I'll talk to Joe Villa, wonderful human being, or whoever we get, to be like, all right, we have multiple hosts, we have multiple crews. Can we split off? Yeah. Can we get this? Let's divide. Let's get more stuff out there.
You'll be the puppet master.
To try to establish AfterBuzz TV as a wrestling destination. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. So that's what I'm working towards at WrestleMania. But you can keep an eye on all of that if you follow AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, as well as all of our hosts. Where to begin? Let's just start from the beginning of the week. John Laquasto, Ty Matthews, Marquia McCarty, and then Total Divas, that's Christy, Paulina Aguilar, and George Hermosa. I'm pretty sure George does Total Divas.
Is
I know,
he a regular?
We're recording this on a Tuesday, and I don't go in on Tuesdays, so to be perfectly honest, I don't know. Wednesday is us, so that's Bill Hanstock at Sundown Motel.
Yep.
This person's alter ego, True Hobo.
At True Hobo.
Because I was going to say you, because right. It's not you, it's Hobo.
At CWFH Training, for me, or
myself,
Hobo.
Mark Bidonica, the B stands for BAH! Thursdays is SmackDown with Christy, Scott, a little bit of a rotating group of people, but Scott Narver, Christy again, Christian Rosenberg, Steve Kaufman at times, George Hermosa at times, Lucha Underground, which, depending on what talent they send to other shows and have at WrestleCon, Ty's going down to WrestleMania, and I'm interested in sending him down to do maybe one or two.
Yeah.
So we have a way to get to some Lucha Underground talent. So if they're going to be there, like I know Ricochet is going to be there. I don't know if he's bringing his Prince Puma gear, but if he could, that would be a hell of an interview to get. But yeah, I want Ty to do some stuff for Lucha Underground as well. And I have fun ideas for Lucha Underground, really stupid, funny, silly ideas for Lucha Underground moving forward. It's just going to take a little bit more money off of my top half, which I need to pay for a wedding. But Lucha Underground is the Jimbo Slice, Jared Gilkerson Radio, who's Jared Gilkerson, and Ty Matthews. We got a lot of wrestling programming, and to be perfectly honest, I wish we had more, just because I know the fans are clamoring for it.
It's just, it's going to take a little extra work. I think we've got a lot of people who have a lot of ideas. A lot of our talented hosts have got ideas about things that they would like to bring to the table and make materialize on AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz, Popcorn Talk. Yeah. Technically, Book Circle. I mean, they're wrestling books.
No, I know. I've read a lot of them.
So there's a couple things that we've been throwing around for multiple networks. A couple of things that fans of ours could be excited to see.
Yeah.
But that's
some original ideas taking a bit bigger. A bit bigger life,
quote unquote. But yeah, it's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of making sure that WWE is okay with it. Essentially, because we have a good relationship with them as a network, and we wouldn't want to do anything to sully that.
Yeah.
Especially with how much Maria does for them. But yeah, WrestleMania seasons is going to be big, and I hope to have that lead off into what will be the biggest year for AfterBuzz TV's wrestling division. But we'll see when we get there. So, make sure that you go to AfterBuzz TV, support all of our shows, Wrestling Compadres as well, who've been a part of AfterBuzz almost a year now. Almost a year now. They've been a part of straight up AfterBuzz TV instead of Nerdist. They're Wrestle Buds. Like the problem is it's Wrestling Compadres and their Twitter is like different.
Right.
So it's like, damn it, what do we do? Also, make sure to follow Wrestling Viewpoint Network. Follow our patriarch Ken Knapsack on Twitter. I've been trying to get him to sit down, but he can't. He's constantly moving with his new position.
Yeah.
But he's one of the people that I've been wanting to have another sit-down show with, because the first show that we had was good, but we could have done it a little bit better. Because we did it in the sound booth at AfterBuzz TV instead of just recording in the studio, which was stupid. Well, that was back when we were on RAR, but I want to give our patriarch a little bit more time. So, Ken Knapsack is a hell of a producer, hell of a guy, hell of a wrestling fan.
He's got a pretty sweet ponytail.
He's got an awesome, he's got like classic Paulie Dangerously ponytail going. So yeah, check him out and all he does. He does, he's the fact checker for TV Fights. I think he does Movie Fights as well for Screen Junkies. And he's a big part of the Schmoes No team. Hell of a guy. Wouldn't be here without him. So yeah, follow Ken Knapsack. Follow True Hobo at True Hobo. Follow Bren at CWFH Training. Make sure to buy a shirt at, what is it? NXTeam.spreadshirt.com. Sorry, I'm looking
you
at...
Over?
No, if, whatever. I'm looking at your Bullfit shirt, and I'm like...
Hey, you can't get these anymore.
Nope. Well, I mean, you can. They're on super sale. They're on super discount. Give Bull your money.
Give Bull... I don't know if he gets any at this juncture.
He pushed it on...
did he?
Like, they did a sale last week, and he was like, get him now, 30% off. So he probably... That's still probably a part of his contract. It's probably a separate contract.
Yeah, I don't know any of that stuff works.
Merchandise is usually
you got to sell so many and then you get
depends cut
because you have to make up the space in between. It's the cost of the stuff itself.
Mm-hmm.
I believe is still how they do it. So after a certain point, then you start making money.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess arguably he'd be making money now.
And follow. And that's a guy who I'd like to get on the show too.
Yeah.
If we ever get him in studio, supposedly, Bull James, formerly Bull Dempsey, is going to be in California this year.
That's what he said.
Hopefully he's in Texas for some WrestleCon or something.
Everybody's going to be in Texas.
That's the thing. Everybody's going to be in Texas. Yeah. Either way, follow him on Twitter. He's still Bull Dempsey WWE. But what I was saying is our store is nxteam.spreadshirt.com. It's where we have a lot of our original shirts and some parody shirts that I really like. We're always working on more. There's one that we're going to make up for Hobo pretty soon. I want to make a new one for myself, and we're working on one for Bill too.
Yep.
But yeah, help us support us. Thank you to everybody who picked something up to support Kathy. She's beyond overwhelmed at the amount of people that wanted to show their appreciation. So we thank you for that as well. Follow this podcast here at The Gimmick Pod for any news updates. Anytime there's a big wrestling thing, instead of tweeting from our account, sometimes we just tweet from here because it's easier.
Yeah.
And we don't want to flood our channels with wrestling stuff, though.
It could be me or you.
Yeah. Who knows?
It's not affiliated. So if anybody says anything offensive, we're just going to point fingers at each other and say,
and nobody will know.
Hacked.
Yeah. Whoops.
The password is.
Or we could say that Ken has access to our Twitter. We'll just blame it on him. So
we can give it to him.
We could.
And then just say, well, we gave it to him.
Yes, that was probably him.
Right.
So yeah, follow the podcast at The Gimmick Pod. Follow me at Mark B. Donica. The B stands for because it's going to be a hell of a season. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Gimmick Podcast. We'll see you next time.
Bye.